Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
What are you guys doing
here? Welcome to this, the very first Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast live. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes.
Indeed.
On Acast. And at Mojo's in Bucharest, Romania. Thank you very much for coming. We thought we knew we were going to be in Romania because we wanted a bit of a bender. And yeah. We thought we'd be here on our own. So this is amazing. So thank you. Phil supplied the drink for today.
Nice bit of salty kiss.
Oh, nothing worse. No, I'm going to drink it. I'm going to give it a go.
Cheers, boys.
Ordinarily,
at this point, we would give one of the many five-star reviews we get. But seeing as we have a live audience, we do have someone who's this morning handed me a review. Not too long ago, so I'm going to share that with you right now.
And it is on iTunes, actually.
The gentleman behind this is called Harry. Harry? Right. That gentleman there is responsible for this. So, the review is... Cocker. The best mid-morning DJ on Virgin Radio's admittedly meagre roster. Holds this ramshackle affair together... His only obstacles being his co-stars. Co-stars. Who desperately grasp his coat-like coattails like gulping codfish. Cocker is the thinking man's Labrador. A lot of yapping, but where's the substance? I'll give you a clue. It's on Brian Moore's podcast.
More about him later.
JB's rant and repeat analysis is the kind of deadbeat interpretation you expect to hear on the bus, but certainly not something you pay for up front. Which brings us to Phil. I'm fairly certain that his good looks have carried him through because he possesses the charisma and natural charm of a lower tier garden slug. Mindlessly repeating statistics does not make you a pundit. Look, I know my rugby, I'm a rugby man. And these three village idiots are reductive fools dancing like jesters for presumably someone. Some good bits, 5 stars.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Really good job.
Cheers, Harry.
So, we are... very highbrow gentlemen, as you understand, and we're going to take a highbrow approach in getting you involved in this right now. So you've seen Question Time on a Thursday night. We're going to, throughout this show, do a bit of rugby question time.
Eventually.
This is what we deal with on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
You're recording.
Man. All
you're
the recording. Gear, no idea. Yeah,
where's his socks?
Where's the socks?
Thank you. And the gentlemen up here are Philip and JB. I believe we have a question. First question from Mr. Ed. Ed. Bath fan Ed. Ed, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, my question's for JB, actually.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
So, one to start off with is a couple of years ago when I first started listening to the pod, I loved your passion for Bath and your apparent fandom. And I was just wondering whether, now obviously the times have changed a little bit and the only Premiership shirt you've got.
We're very different people now.
I'm just wondering if in front of all these people you're willing to finally admit that you're a Sale fan.
I'm not a Sale fan. I love all forms of rugby, all the clubs. I'm certainly not a Sale fan.
You are doing a good impression.
No, look. I've got my Bath pin badge.
Oh, I'm very proud.
Have that.
Proves it. You see, the problem is with JB is that he met Steve Diamond and then fell in love with him. Whoever he meets,
I don't think you meet Steve Diamond. You encounter Steve Diamond. I encounter Steve Diamond a few times now.
JB would meet Kim Jong Un and say, well,
he's a Morton's administrator. Hey, I can control several million people.
Genghis Khan, well, you know.
Very successful conqueror.
Very successful conqueror, yeah.
Nice military machine.
The best warrior with sword in hand.
Exactly.
I've got a question here from Lawrence Hooper. We got a load of listeners back in the UK who send their best. Lawrence sent this message in going, what is this empty feeling? Losing? Will it go away? The Carly Gnome on TV said only a win would do. What do we do now? Englishman in the building?
Yeah. Out of interest, how many people remember this game?
I thought we were talking about Wales.
If no one remembered it then, so England, good win. That's
yeah, cracking.
Break this one down then, Philip.
Well, it's interesting, because I kind of always said that Ireland were going to win, and it played out exactly as I was expecting. England were given way, way too much room with ball against Scotland, and Andy Farrell masterfully guided the defence and completely closed England down. Left, right and centre, there was no opportunity for anyone to do anything.
Yeah, I thought Ireland's kicking game was brilliant, actually. Also, I thought there was a marked change in what they were trying to do when they brought on Andrew Conway. I think I might mention Andrew Conway a few times. And I also thought they were good by implementing my suggestion, Timothy, of playing Peter Omani. I thought, again, he was absolutely brilliant.
So this game was basically just validation of things that we've said previously.
Except for my prediction.
Apart from, you two predicted it wrong. Yeah. But, so you two both said that Peter Omani would come on and make a difference, and he did.
He did.
I said the Jay Payne train should be played, and he would make a big difference. Admittedly, I was calling for him at 13 rather than 15, but he was outstanding.
He was good.
Right throughout the game. And we said that the importance of Andy Farrell and his understanding of Owen Farrell and the ability to close that down would be key, which it was.
So, with Jared Payne, would, as well as he played, would you have replaced Carney if he was fit?
Personally,
yeah.
As a proud, very proud.
He's so Ulster. It's in your voice.
Pride, Ulsterman. Yeah, with my lovely pin badge. I probably would. I think Payne is such a good fullback, and he's almost so playing him at 13, which Ireland have done, and he's done very, very well. He's kind of like. It's a slightly rounded square peg in a slightly squarish round hole.
I think so. I think that's fact. I guess the question is, who do you value more, Ringrose or Corny?
Well, it kind of comes down to the way that Ireland want to play. So Ringrose has definitely more attacking potential. Mm-hmm. He is outstanding talent. But the way that Ireland want to play, I think, is, and it was shown yesterday, this more kind of attritional, territory-based, pragmatic game, and the pain train fits better for that.
Let's jump from Ireland to England for a second, because you mentioned the fullback. Right.
Oh,
fantastic servant. What a really experienced player, and he'll be part of the World Cup squad in 2019, I hope. But who would change England's fullback?
Would it be for Alex Good?
Andy
Good. 100%. This man knows his rugby. Who? Andy who?
So when you look at England, how deficient were they? You've given Andy Farrell credit, and that was the biggest difference. But a little bit of aimless kicking potentially from England. Suddenly, when you don't have a really rock solid pack getting over the gain line, then Ben Young's creaks.
Ben Young's creaks once every 5 games. He's horrendous. One every 5, he's world class, and then. You know, you can't take him leave.
Can you come every week? Because this is the JB I've been wanting for ages. Where's all these opinions on, Jay?
I don't really remember the game, is the answer. Wait till the Wales game.
Yeah, it's very PC today.
Oh, don't. Just
on your question then, Tim, who would you replace Mike Brown with?
Well, I suppose.
Elliot Daly.
Yes.
Such a populist. Such a populist.
Daly is outstanding. He's acquitted himself fantastically to play on the wing.
Yeah,
and he's played a bit of fullback as a youngster, but in order for him to get regular game time at fullback, he's got to oust both Curtly Beale and Willie LaRue.
And
Wasps.
And Miller.
And
actually, boys.
Denny Solomona.
What a guy. What a lad. Any Wasps fans here? Right. How often has Elliot Daly played fullback for Wasps?
In his early days, he played a lot.
Yeah, in his early days, he probably played scrum half and fly half too.
Josh Beaumont was a fly half.
Yeah, Josh Beaumont was a fly half. England fly half, Josh Beaumont.
Really?
I don't think it's necessarily an option yet. Paul Milham.
I'll come to you, sir. Feel free. Yeah, go on.
What did Mark Brown do wrong?
Did he watch the game? Okay, I'll tell you what he did well. He was very, very good at like grabbing collars and looking angry.
Yes!
Outside of that,
the well-dressed man in front. I agree with you. I thought Mike Brown didn't play well last week.
Decent game. It's about the even. Like, so do we need England 2.0 with this? We can get the monkey off our back about this unbeaten run. It's just a game, and Ireland were worthy winners, but. What's the next step? We've been like Scotland. That game against Scotland was as good as I've ever seen an England team.
Yeah.
I still feel that was more down to Scotland's passive defence than England's performance. England were given the opportunity to play exactly the way they wanted. They will very rarely again get the opportunity to play exactly how they want.
All right. So Lance JD says, "How do I deal with my now insufferable Irish wife after yesterday's disaster in Dublin?" Well, start
divorce.
Start a podcast.
Brexit. There you go.
On the England Isle, anyone got something they would say or an opinion they would put forward? So no, open forum, you feel free, there you go. Oh, he's an Irishman.
I thought we had checks on the door, Tim.
I hope everybody enjoyed the game last night. It's just a pleasure to be here with so many humble Englishmen.
Lads.
That's the difference with rugby. Thank you very much. I hope you all have a great time.
Gavin, ladies and gents. I'm curious again. You can't just keep saying I didn't see the game. What will change? We want a little natural break now so we can reflect. Yeah, we lost that record. Incidentally, actually, here's one.
Oh, oh no, here's one for you.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Get the bell ready.
Who cares?
There is a brand new winner of the JB Cup.
Hey. Yay!
If you can explain it in one sentence, then you can. Then it can be a thing.
Longest tier one winning streak.
Oh!
It can't be a thing. It can't be a thing.
Yeah, but who cares?
Good, great question.
I care. And there's also a Twitter account now, the JB Cup. I didn't do it. It appeared yesterday.
So we got the.
He's from Ipswich, this guy.
Here's one question. With now England are fallible and have been beaten, Do you think that the clamour for an England-New Zealand game this autumn will stop? Like, in the room, who wants an England-New Zealand game as an added week to the autumn internationals this...
No.
Nah. Mix. Who's saying... You, sir, what... What should... sorry. The lady to your right.
As a neutral, why not?
I don't think we need one. The calendar's been set out already.
Exactly right.
So, just get on with it. And you're already playing the Lions. New Zealand are already playing the Lions. That's enough English against New Zealand.
Now, is that because you don't want to see England or you're worried about retaining the JB Cup?
No, I think the calendar is in place.
Absolutely
don't,
right.
Don't be missing
if you missed
cup.
That, you said the calendar's in place as it is already.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of money riding on it. Well, there's some talk again. This is a story for another day, but as it plays out, but the Barbarians game potentially being cancelled at Twickenham to accommodate it.
All Barbarians games have been cancelled, to be fair.
But then all the clubs are because it's outside the window, all the clubs are going
to
pull the
internet. So, I'm going to change tack for a second. Any Welshmen? In?
Yeah. That one.
So, Nick Monkey says, does Wayne Barnes quote his officiating price to World Rugby at a flat rate or by the minute?
Now, actually, seriously, can we have a round of applause, please, for Wayne Barnes? Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
There was a moment in that game when I thought the TMO had clocked off. When 95 minutes in, Wayne Barnes is trying desperately to get some TMO footage did he bite himself?
Yeah, that was a bit. No, that was a bit when they asked for TMO, and the sound coming back was the Archers music, wasn't it? Dave, you there, Dave?
So let's just recap on that. Well, it's 25% extra rugby. I love it. Every game, 100 minutes.
Oh, it's amazing.
No, you can't. Free rugby is brilliant. Extra 20 minutes free.
Exactly.
And you're not expecting it as well.
When's last time, if ever, a yellow card has been given at the 80 minutes and come back on?
That's
unbelievable.
So between 77 minutes and the game ending, there was a yellow carded player on 82 minutes who, as you say, Samson Lee, wasn't it Samson Lee? Went off and then came back on and played for another 7 minutes when he came back. There was an alleged bite, which... That, is with the sighting commissioners.
That question, when Wayne Barnes said, we're going to check if there was a bite or whether he bit himself.
Is it a self-inflicted bite? I think that was a French player suggesting that George North had bitten himself.
Incredible suggestion, isn't it?
Yeah, so that happened. There was a disagreement about whether a replaced player or an injured player had been replaced. The French doctor had to be asked.
Now, thank God this has happened, right? So I've been talking about two things for ages. One, HIAs, waste of time. Concussions, don't really happen.
JB's back!
JB's back!
The
second thing, finally we can expose doctors for being the self-interested, self-important people that we always knew that they were. That guy will have to get his comeuppance soon. Have to.
So how do you prove it?
Can you?
Yeah,
you can't. Because they've constructed this world where you can't attack doctors. So yeah, but we all know the truth.
So the head injury one is that you're talking about that? Yeah.
So well, just on that, I think we should have gone for a second opinion. There was another doctor on the pitch.
Yes, there was.
Wayne Barnes should have consulted the doctor, JR.
Jamie, so,
what do you think, Jamie? Does he need to go off?
And he could grab George North and say, this is a concussed man.
He's saying he's bitten himself. Look at him.
He's mental.
I think Wayne Barnes' question should have been, any reason I cannot award a bite? Not bite or no bite.
Great question.
But all that happened in that last 20 minutes. But I think we're absolutely right. I'm going to say it again. I just thought Wayne Barnes showed absolute class and control and calmness.
Oh, what a professional.
He was so good.
Yeah. And with everything else falling apart around him, it could no. Not even me. And
I'm an
England fan.
Yeah.
Keelan
Giles.
Yeah, well...
Keelan Giles
okay,
just
so
mentioned that if you didn't hear
really,
that.
Really, really interesting point, that, which is, of all the Tier 1 nations, I think since the World Cup, Wales have had the least new players. I think they've had 5 new caps.
Fewest,
sorry.
I don't want to stop you, Flo, Stannis. Good man, Phil. I don't want to stop you, Flo, Jay, but hold that microphone a little bit close to your mouth.
There you go. Yeah, so the most being Argentina. I can't tell you how much, but...
26, I think it was.
And the fewest being... That's right.
Being Wales.
Least, fewest. Being Wales, I think they've got 5, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, new caps in the last 18 months.
Yeah. So, yeah, the answer is, I don't know if they have anyone else. And if you look at, say, someone like England, England pick the team to fit their style of play. I think Wales just have to pick their best 15 and hope Rob Howley comes up with something.
Well, let's mention Rob Howley then. So there was an article in the Telegraph earlier this week. I don't know who the head of the WRU is. I can't remember the name, but it was from him. And he...
That's right.
You're about to pop out.
Okay.
Massive, mate.
And there was an article this week pretty much saying 2019, after the World Cup, it's Howley's job.
It better not be. I mean...
And that's, so Ireland lost 2 games and it was crisis.
Yeah.
Wales had lost 2 and it was, hey, it's great, happy days.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? If Wales won that, weirdly, they've been doing nothing but criticise the coach for, what, 8 weeks now or something, and they would have ended up 4th in the world. So he's kind of, on one hand... not done a particularly good job. He's certainly not blooded any new players. I don't think Wales are playing particularly well. But actually, he's beaten Ireland and Italy. So
yeah, and I think I'm right in saying they were second last in the table. Wales finished second bottom.
Yeah, but it's just very fine margins.
So, let's. You mentioned the world rankings there, and we're here in Bucharest, obviously.
Me!
Yeah, we are. And... And we're going to go and see Romania versus Georgia in a little bit. The culmination. The only game in European rugby this weekend where there's something really on the line in terms of the competition.
A title?
A title is on the line this afternoon. This also, what timing this week? We're really lucky that we're here and we're going to be experiencing this in the week when World Rugby have announced that this is going to become, well, fixtures here in Bucharest, in Tbilisi and in other Tier 2 nations is going to become more widespread, more games with Tier 1, Tier 2. Now, Statman Phil, if you didn't see the story, you've got all the details.
I've got some details.
give us the details that you're aware of, Phil.
The details I'm aware of. So, new global calendar, new global season has been announced by World Rugby, and the key headline is more games, what is, in inverted commas, Tier 1 versus Tier 2, which is something that the three of us, again, validation of something that we've been saying for a while.
Exactly.
Is necessary and required. And it's going to be a merit-based system where the top of the kind of Tier 2 system, and again, using that in inverted commas because there's no official Tier 2, but the best of the rest will play against the best of the Tier 1. So, for example, if the rankings, when this kicks in after the 2019 World Cup, if the rankings stay as they are, you'd get the All Blacks travelling to Tbilisi to play a game in front of 55,000 people.
Amazing.
Against Georgia.
And here, if it stays as it is, I believe I might say Australia would come here. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this street we're on now?
Oh, it sounds terrible.
We're moving.
I mean, it's common sense, and this is... because it's more than that, isn't it? By the way, Phil said before the podcast, you won't mind me saying, we were having a coffee up the road, and he said, I think I still feel a bit drunk. He just summarised, he just nailed that.
See, I wonder, right, if all this is done in the right spirit, but actually what's going to happen is going to ruin Tier 2. Because the whole idea is, you grow the game, and then, you know, the local community gets involved, and everyone fills the stadium. It just results in a bunch of dickheads in jackets showing up in a Tier 2 nation. Which I'm all for. I'm all for that. But, you know, just saying.
So it is more than just that as well. So the new season, so the summer international window has been pushed back as well to allow the Super Rugby season to be played uninterrupted. Which makes sense because the gap, the break in the Super Rugby season to allow the internationals, the summer tours to go ahead is ludicrous. It's crazy.
In the
Well, if you hate the fences.
Yeah. If you like tries, if you like easy, unopposed tries.
Mackerel fishing for rugby. Just out of interest. Just out of interest, all some internationals. Would you actually rather see England v Australia for the eighth time, or would you rather see Georgia versus England, or Georgia versus Japan?
The gentleman there here said it would be a cricket score if that were to happen, but come on.
Well, Georgia played Ireland in Dublin 2 years ago last year.
Yeah.
And it was 50 points to 7, something like that. But how are they going to get better if they're not playing against the best?
Well, I mean,
this is more extensive than just the fixtures as well. There's other things on the line here that World Rugby have talked about, and one of them is player welfare, which, as you said, managing the season and the workload of these guys.
Two of the key points about the announcement from World Rugby were, again, something that we've been saying, so commercial equality, so making sure that the funds are evenly distributed across all nations, which is very important, and player welfare, and making sure that the best players are going to be playing most important games.
So, I think, again, I'm sure it will be no surprise to you, but Georgia particularly, I think we're going to be pretty impressed this afternoon.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to get on the cricket score route, just remember England played Scotland last week.
Yeah! So,
well, let's talk about Scotland for a second.
We've got
a man in the kill. Where's the man in the kill? All right.
He's really shy.
Just out of interest, are you wearing gillies? Gillies.
What's gillies, Phil?
Gillies is a method of fastening shoes.
His shoes are tied.
Oh yeah, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
I am. Yeah, proper shoes. Yeah.
Good.
And I'm a true Scotsman, obviously. Before you ask, yeah.
I can confirm this. I checked earlier.
Obviously. Who lives in England?
So, okay. I think the thing from the Scottish game for me is: did you see Vern Cotter shed a tear? He said, "Well, you weren't up, were you?" He had misty eyes and clearly very emotional. Have they potentially scored an own goal here? What do you say?
Possibly, but the thing is they had to hold on to Townsend because Townsend was going to go to France or come down south. So the way they had to hold on to Townsend was for him to become national coach. So.
But they've replaced him with a Kiwi at Glasgow, kind of one in, one out in that sense.
Makes sense.
But is that not a missed trick? Could they not have brought a young Scottish coach through to Glasgow, put him in a stretch position? I don't know. Mike Blair's coaching there, isn't he? I don't know what his ambitions are. Yeah, maybe it is too soon. But putting someone in a stretch position like that could be something that.
Are there any other Scottish coaches not in Scotland? Because you've got to remember, Scotland's only really got three positions, hasn't it? You've got Scotland national coach, Edinburgh, Glasgow. So is there anyone else? Yeah, because where else would you get your?
Is there any Scottish guys involved in the Lions? I think even the doctor's not.
No, the doctor got dropped. Yeah, no, he's been dropped.
He's been on every one, right?
Yeah, no, he's gone.
He was on Living with Lions in '97.
He wasn't on the last one. He turned. Yeah.
Apparently, they're going with some French guy.
Let the boys play.
And again, Gregor Townsend was asked to be Rob Howley's assistant.
Unbelievable.
See the guy that asked George North fit to play.
So we will return to rugby, but Philip has prepared a quiz.
Yeah. I have.
For which there is an Egg Chasers Club tie on the line for someone.
Lurking at the back, can I have the Egg Chasers Club tie? Modelled, obviously, by JB.
Now, this is taking on myself. This is taking on myself and JB, so is there anyone who fancies it?
That man there.
Harley Quinn shirt.
The beautiful bit of stash that is. Come on up.
Lovely.
You say this, man.
Have we got some time?
Let him sit there.
Thank you.
Have you got another mic? Where's the other mic?
No, it's all right. Yeah. What's your name? Okay.
Andy
Top Man. That is such a gorgeous bit of stash, isn't it? That Quinn shirt.
Great stash. Beautiful, yes.
When does Adam Jones want his top back?
Right, come on then, Phil.
Right.
You're going down, by the way.
So, I could probably really do with some pens and paper for you guys.
Well, how about
you got pen
hand
and paper? Hands up. We're going to do hands up.
Hands up, and then you get the first refusal on the next question, if that makes sense. You get the first go at the second answer.
No, but we'll try it.
All right.
You need to wear his footwear, though.
Okay.
Oh, so, all right, then.
Coach. Join this.
All right.
Okay, so we need hands up.
Okay.
No shouting out. You might have a chance to help us out in a minute.
And this is a Six Nations special.
Ooh.
So...
Go on.
Which two teams, at one point for each, have won the most Grand Slams since the Six Nations started?
JB.
JB, Broughton Park.
England. Oh, whoa! Whoa! Not Broughton Park. This will be Talk 8. England.
And?
Wales.
Incorrect.
Tim. First, let's hand up first.
France and England.
Incorrect.
Oh. Yes!
England and...
No.
You said Wales, right?
Correct.
Did you say Wales?
He did.
England, so must be England. So, Ireland.
Zutalo.
Incorrect.
What?
Italy?
He said what?
The Welsh dress man over there.
Wales, France
is correct.
Wales, France! Wow, well played. Wow.
They both won three since the Six Nations started. England have
won one. I think when we get one wrong, we should have to have a bit of salty kiss.
No,
here.
Never.
I definitely think that too.
Go on then, Phil. Next.
Okay. Since the Six Nations started again, only one Englishman has won Player of the Tournament. In 2014, who was it?
Tim. 2014. I think I'm a year behind, but I was going to say Jonathan Joseph, but I think that was... No.
Your answer is Jonathan Joseph? Incorrect.
Mike Brown.
Correct.
That's a joke. And in your place.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. This is like Hunger Games. It is an elimination. One of us is off the pod after this.
Next question.
Yeah.
Which stadium holds the record attendance for a Five or Six Nations game with 104,000
people? Jimmy!
Binmore, Talk H.
Is it Croke Park?
Yes.
Incorrect.
What?
Tim. Oh, sorry.
Wembley.
Incorrect.
Oh, man. So I'm going to go the old Stade de France.
Incorrect.
Murrayfield.
Correct.
Murrayfield.
What? Yeah.
The man in the relay.
Jeez. Right.
Next question. What is the Calcutta Cup made of?
JB.
JB, Talk H.
I believe it's rupees. And cobras.
Correct. 1 point for Beardmore. It's melted down rupees.
That's right.
What year did the first Six Nations Championship take place?
2001.
JB?
Incorrect.
1998?
Incorrect.
2002?
Incorrect.
2000.
Scotland.
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 Scotland. Sorry?
Start to win, sure.
No, right, on the nose, unfortunately. Andy. Back up.
Have we got any of these right, Phil?
It's currently, it scores on the doors. Andy Harlequin's one.
Yeah!
Come on, Andy!
Bidmortock H1. Cock and Newbury, 0.
Yeah. You played at Newbury, Tim? Do you ever play for Ben Ryan?
He might have coached me, yeah.
Wow. You should talk about it more.
First contested in 2006 and named after an Italian revolutionary born in France.
JB!
That's Tim!
JB! JB!
I know it!
Garibaldi.
Garibaldi.
Is it Gary Baldy? That's his first and surname, yeah?
First name Gary.
Yeah, yeah. First name, yeah. Mr. Baldy.
Giuseppe Garibaldi Trophy is correct.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yatin.
From the inaugural tournament, from the original squad to the inaugural tournament in 2000, one player is still playing professionally.
What?
Say again.
All teams.
Oh, Jimmy!
Oh,
Peter Stringer.
Is correct.
Yes!
Is that an unassailable lead now? We just end it. Knock it on the head now, yeah?
We've got a few more questions.
Oh, come on. It's over. It's a massacre.
Who has the most appearances in the Six Nations?
Tim.
Cocker.
Sergio.
Incorrect.
Oh.
And me?
Bod.
Bod is correct. Next question. Only a couple more. Who holds the records for the most points scored in the Six Nations overall?
Oh.
Andy?
Join me.
Incorrect.
Tell me if you know.
Don't tell JB.
Tim.
Is it Rog? Correct.
Oh, that's good. Sure, it is the last one now. Come on.
Three is 3-2-1. So how many questions are there left?
Last question.
Right, I'll just yes, it's between you two then.
Come on, Andy. Someone unplug JB's mic.
Who was the last Scottish player to win Player of the Tournament?
Adam Moore. Not
Andy.
Chris Patterson.
Yeah. Incorrect. Can you think of a Scottish player?
Yeah. Can I think of a good Scottish player?
He comes in an hour. Eh?
Is it Johnny Gray?
Incorrect.
Oh.
And Cocker to level with Andy.
No. Is that Andy and JB? Andy
and yeah, JB. Andy's gone.
Jason White.
Ooh, that's good.
Incorrect.
Good God. Hog?
Is correct.
Yes!
And JB wins 4-2-1.
Andy, ladies and gents. That was my time, anyway.
Okay.
Good man. Good man. Actually, incidentally, we were thinking about something for this game this afternoon, and I've seen a Romanian jersey over there, or a couple actually, is there? Yeah, good lads. Good work. And we thought we might just mess with the heads of some of the other people that we're sharing the stadium with, in a good way. So we just picked the number 6, didn't we?
Yes.
And we decided that if we all do it, we could get everyone in the ground doing it, but I don't even know who the 6 for Romania is starting.
But but you do know a starting player for Romania.
He's not started. They've got an English player.
You must be furious about this, by the way.
Jack Cobden. He played at Nottingham in the Championship, and he scored 2 tries last week for Romania.
Did he?
Yeah.
What position?
Winger.
And you're going to tell him your thoughts on project players?
Yeah, I'll happily tell him what I think about project. Yeah. Again, I'm delighted about World Rugby's announcements this week. I'm hoping that there might be some more like that later in the year. What we thought is whatever the number 6 does, whoever he is, all the time, we'll get right behind him. We'll adopt him as our player for the day. So every time he gets the ball,
as soon as the yellow 6 gets the ball, everybody cheers, applaud, whistle. Conversely,
do we boo someone then?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like rugby to me.
Oh, but come on.
Do you want a pantomime villain as well?
Gorgonzola.
It's too scary.
Oh yeah. I'm not booing him.
Yeah, Georgian 6. How does everyone feel about booing the Georgian 6?
No, let the boys play.
Okay. Booing the Georgian 6 will be similar to when one of the, was it Ulster fans, slagged off Trevor Brennan's bar.
What's the story? I don't know this.
What? You don't know that? Was it Leinster or Ulster?
Ulster.
You don't know the story about the Ulsterman who decided to tell Trevor Brennan that his bar was terrible?
Is it a quick one?
Well, yeah.
Short story.
By the way, just get thinking if there's a question or...
I can't believe this.
More no questions one, stitching up JB is
no,
not good as
no
well.
No one knows the story about when Trevor Brennan waded through the crowd in Toulouse and beat up a fan.
Clearly not. Tell us.
I'm sure we've mentioned this before.
I'm sure. Well, someone's told Trevor Brennan that his bar was terrible, so he waded into the crowd and beat up an Ulsterman.
Right.
He wasn't that proud.
So proud.
Soon back down. And he was banned for life, but then repealed for only 5 years. So there you go.
Wow. So, Yellow 6, we're adopting him as our player. He's ours, and everything he does, we're going to be all over him. And by the way,
if he scores a try, we're all doing Romanian cognac.
Yeah.
Pitch invasion.
Yes.
Carry him
well,
off.
We'll carry him off the pitch.
Get naked.
And the other thing which we want to just encourage as well, which we'll be partaking in, and we'd love to get you on board. I don't know whether you've seen the pictures on Instagram of a line out pint?
No, because I'm not allowed to log on to Instagram, Tim.
We'll demonstrate what we're talking about, and we'll let you in. But a line out pint's later at the game, I think.
Definitely.
So we're adopting Yellow 6. He's our player for the game. And that's the other thing about this. Apparently, the Romania boys and some of the Georgian boys are, I've heard there's a bit of a knees up, and they want to get in and amongst it. So piling back here afterwards, there might be an international rugby team.
All the lads.
Lads. Yes. Oh yes. So we got a bunch of people wanting to mention. Did you see the merger? Oh, that's all right. The merger, Stade Français and Racing 92. Yeah, getting the two clubs are merging. I just assumed it was a joke at first.
I thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Quite remarkable. Yeah.
So the question is, right, if we had to merge two English clubs, what would be either the most fun or the one you'd like to see merged?
Bath and Sale, obviously.
Wow.
You say Bath and Sale for JB's benefit. I think let's merge Bath and London Irish, and then we can officially make London Irish the academy for Bath. It's done then. Bill, London Irish West, London Irish East. There we go.
It'd probably be very unpopular in the East Midlands, but there's quite a lot of synergy between Northampton and Leicester.
Synergy. So
unless someone else will talk about.
Yeah. So you make a good point. These things have to stack up. You can't just jump to any old clubs together, could you?
Yeah. Sale and Bath geographically
wouldn't work.
Ludicrous.
But strangely enough, so I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking like they need to play in a similar way. They need to be of a similar standard. I thought Clermont and Sale. Both great with ball in hand.
Both enormous packs.
Huge packs.
Yeah.
Where's the downside? I also thought Dragons and Zebra.
So, just on that then, when you say merge, how many Sale players would oust their Clermont equivalent?
So I think Camille Lopez will play. Outside of that, I'm pretty sure it's Sale all the way.
No reason for Farmer.
I don't think so. Jennings is doing well.
Yeah. Okay. No Nakatasi.
Solomona.
Charnley.
Yeah, I've got it pretty well covered actually.
The Northampton Leicester one, that's synergy. I don't understand you.
No, you know,
that would be like warring factions.
That's not that's not the first time that's been mentioned. When Northampton went down, Martin Johnson actually said something to the effect that not emerge, but there's only room for one Midlands club.
Well, now, obviously, Wasps have moved
into it. Yeah.
I do remember when there was some financial problems at Bath and Bristol. That was talked about, like building a new stadium halfway between Bristol and Bath, wasn't it?
When they thought
Bath might get relegated and lose the money. So it could still happen.
Sale nearly merged with Broughton Park. The actual proper Sale nearly merged with Broughton Park on the turn of professionalism.
In the 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
The Racing, so it'll be interesting to see exactly how it plays out. The Racing and Stade Francais, their stash, that powder pink and baby blue, Blazers.
Haven't they just both built Germans built?
Yes, they have.
Yeah. That is classic France, isn't it?
Yes,
just both built publicly funded stadiums.
No, the. No?
Privately owned.
I'm pretty sure the Racing one is one of the biggest privately funded projects in all of Paris.
So they've both got new stadiums. They're going to split between the two. I want to come back out and get some thoughts from you. Let me swap with you, Phil. There we go. We've got a gentleman here. What's your name?
My name's Jeff.
Sorry, just stand up and show your face. Doesn't he look like? Do you remember? Is it Superman 3?
No.
Where is it?
Now, just before you start talking, I'm guessing you're a barista or something, yeah?
Brian Blessed. Have you got anything else? Brian Blessed is another good one. Yeah.
It's reasonable.
Fat George Lucas.
Fat. Before you win, it's all on my face right now. All on my face. Have we got anything else? Anything else? I'm open to it.
Yeah. Have you got a question?
I mean, as with any merger or any company, you're going to have pressure players, you're going to have redundancies.
Yeah.
So who would you axe from each team?
Well, this is a weird one, actually, because stupidly, all the staff players know they're merging and they know contracts are on the line. So what do? They all go on strike. I'm imagining... I'm imagining there's not going to be many staff players left.
That's a good relationship with our war. Yeah, good.
Yeah, but...
They'll just surrender anyway.
Well,
not that many seasons left, so yeah. Give them a little package.
You could get some very talented players coming to England as a direct consequence of this.
Yeah.
Well, either it'll be, for example, Sergio or Dan Carter or any of those boys. Slimani already moved on. I think he's already announced.
Slimani's moved. A lot of the Stade players have already moved because.
Don't you think that Ali Williams could run down the lane? Like,
well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because basically, I think.
For the benefit of people listening on the podcast, I'm a pro here, I've got this covered.
Thanks.
I'm going to cover. He said Ali Williams would enjoy running down the line.
Yeah, I think we got it.
In the room, JP, not on the podcast. Amateur.
Good. Well, it's interesting, right? Because I think
I think Racing are the senior partner here, which is good because their stadium is right in the center of central Paris, whereas the Stade stadium is a little bit of a drive away, which works out very well for Dan Carter now.
Good point, well made. Anyone else on anything at all? Yes, there we go.
So I'm sure we need to applaud you boys for bringing us over to Bucharest for a start.
Stop it! No, please.
On the basis of rugby tour, we must present you with a shield from Ailes Rugby Club. There's a shield. Cheers.
From Ailes Rugby Club. Absolutely.
Amazing. Thank you, Sun.
That is amazing.
Cufflinks. Awesome.
Have you bought any ducks?
The shield will.
Prize place.
Yeah, the shield will be proudly displayed.
Oh, they've got a duck on it as well. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Awesome. That will be proudly displayed in the dungeon next week. For next week's Facebook Live.
Oh, I'm nervous. Here we go.
How did you be yesterday? But did I see Tom Francis make a carry over 1 metre?
Yes. He played very well, actually, I thought.
The well-dressed man in the back. Yes. Tom Francis did make a carry over 1 metre, but every other carry he was knocked back 2 metres. So he ends up on zero.
You got a question there, sir?
Yes. I like drinking a lot. But
I'd like to know
this guy.
Tim or Jay is faster at boozing, so I think they should have a pint race. Live. And I think you should watch Jonathan Beardmore lose.
Straight after.
Yeah, we'll do something at the game.
We'll do the game. Why don't we boat race us three against any three of you guys?
So, Chris, pretty straightforward. We can put out an Egg Chasers with some support in the back, an Egg Chasers six-man boat race team.
Yes.
And we will take on all comers at the game.
Going back to our Irish friend here, Gavin.
I know some members of the panel have said that the Pro 12 is a rubbish league.
It's a hobby league.
A hobby league, sorry. With some good teams.
Yep.
And the Top 14 is a great league with some rubbish teams. So,
yes.
In the future, it's a serious question, can you foresee there being an international club league with a merger of the Pro 12, the Premiership and the Top 14 with different divisions so that maybe clubs from Georgia or Romania or Italy can get involved? Or is that a complete no-no?
So, before you go, I think the Pro 12 would benefit most from that. I think the English and the French, there's no real appetite for them. They've got very good, very competitive, very marketable, commercially viable leagues, and so there's no real requirement from their side, whereas the Pro 12, I think, would be pushing for it.
What you need to realise is the Pro 12... I do joke and say it's a hobby league. The Pro 12 is very much an afterthought. So, until very recently, the Pro 12, the CEO of the Pro 12 is also CEO of the Lions and CEO of the Six Nations. He actually just did the Pro 12, I know, Friday afternoon before ending work. So, although the Pro 12 looks like it's like the ideal kind of structure to take on more teams, they're talking about a Georgia team, they're talking about
North America,
it seems like it's the right sort of thing. It's really not. I mean, to the extent that they don't even get their advertising right, they don't even have people making sure that the hoardings say Guinness on them, and then they don't get paid. No, not the Pro 12. Could there be something in the future, though? Led by someone in the Premiership, or maybe the new CEO of the Pro 12, who by all accounts is a very good guy, maybe, but I don't see it in the immediate future.
What are we supposed to do? Like, our problems is our
yeah. Take the microphone there.
In Ireland, I feel like, what are we supposed to do? Our provinces are run well, our attendances are large, there's a lot of passion for the game.
tremendous
question. Who else is going to look after the Italian clubs? And if the Welsh regions and the Scottish districts can't get their act together, well, you know, maybe we could just join the Premiership. I don't know. I'd like to see Leinster against Leicester. I'd like to see, you know, Munster against Saracens. I think that'd be
without getting too
good product.
Without getting too boring about it, I mean, you basically just wouldn't sign the participation agreement at the start of the season, and maybe you could. But it is a great question. The Irish province is a brilliantly run organisations, and I think the Pro 12 doesn't do them justice.
Looking at it from an Ireland perspective, as in the national team, is it not a benefit to be able to rest your players? So you aren't getting Johnny Sexton being put through the mill for 22 competitive games a season and having to play in those competitive games.
By the way, on Johnny Sexton, right, did the whole of the Avicii Stadium booed every time he got tackled. And he seems to have medical attention every time someone taller than 5 foot tackles him. He's going to be really important for the Lions, don't get me wrong, so we need to wrap him in cotton wool a little bit, but come on.
Do you not remember a few years ago when Bismarck Duplessis tackled Dan Carter? Dan Carter, he just tackled him too hard. Yeah. Perfectly legitimate, but it was just too hard for Dan Carter and he got a yellow card.
Mate, stacks up.
Later on in the game, and got sent off.
The All Blacks make their own rules up, though.
Yeah, yeah.
We got Steve here.
Steve.
Sorry, a question for JB.
Okay.
What would you say is the best team in Didsbury? Would you say it's Bedians?
Who?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Or would you say it's your small club called Tock H that no one cares about?
This is a very South Manchester niche question.
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. So to be fair, it probably need some explaining. I think what our listeners are referring to here, there is a school team called Beads, and by all accounts, it's very nice there. You know, they've got nice playing fields. Yeah, it's a great club.
You carry on talking, Jack.
Yeah.
I can't talk that quickly.
Anything
Jim Hamilton can do. It's your eyes when you do it.
So we were thinking, oh God, we've got our wonderful people. We've got our game of the week.
Oh yeah.
To feature for next weekend, and again, we need your help with this because I think if we've proven anything, JB and myself over the last couple of weeks. Years, it's we know very little when it comes to trying to predict outcomes. So, following our advice, your money is you might as well just flush it down the loo. So, someone who is going to take our place at predicting what the result is going to be, we're going to feature one game looking ahead to the Avicii Premiership.
Shall I play?
Play the music.
As contractually obliged.
Thank you to BeerBets.com. So we're just going to feature one game, looking ahead to the Avicii Premiership. So Phil, break down this matchup then. Leicester, Northampton. There's five games left in the season. East Midlands rivalry you've already talked about. Both sides desperately need points.
Yeah, both sides fighting for top four, which would be kind of unacceptable for either side to finish outside the top four. So Northampton at home. It'll be very interesting to see just how many international players either side get back. I guess a real big question mark for me is whether Dylan Hartley's going to bother turning out for Northampton.
Why would he? I think Northampton will have a slight advantage if they don't play their internationals.
Someone in this bar downstairs said to me, I think this is right, I'm not claiming responsibility for knowing this stat, but even if Dylan Hartley played every minute left for Northampton, he still would end the season having played more for England than his club.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he didn't play until it was injury. There was injuries. And then he came back and forearm Sean O'Brien in the head. Delicate little forearm to Sean O'Brien's head. Which means he was banned until the start of the Six Nations. His ban ended, coincidentally, minutes before the first Six Nations game kicked off.
Just out of interest, what do you think Stuart Lancaster makes of all this? Because it's like the most un-Stuart Lancaster thing in the world. So have A, hardly even in the squad. Then the captain doesn't even show up for his club team, unless he's assaulting people. And then his ban gets manipulated by the...
I think it was fair and equal, but that's, this is
coincidence.
We're going back to early this season. Let's talk Northampton, Leicester.
Oh yeah. Okay. So no, if limited internationals are involved, I think Northampton.
Northampton at home.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we established you know nothing and I know nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's forget this. I was going to pick on someone. The gentleman. How's your weekend been?
Beautiful.
Expensive.
Rubbish.
Expensive.
Oh, that's what you've been doing.
You dropped your money.
Well, I was thinking, how could you spend that much money here?
Just on a completely separate topic, they really genuinely must love deadlift in Romania because the amount of places to get a deep tissue massage is it's amazing. Northampton, Leicester.
Northampton. By 12.
Right, Northampton. Ooh. By 12.
So, are there any Northampton fans here?
Any Leicester fans?
And what do you think? Oh, it's Steve.
So, have you two decided on the Aaron Major thing yet? Whether it's going to be good, bad, positive, negative, or somewhere in between?
No
what
idea.
Do you mean? As in, so, Major taking over, we're expecting an exciting, attacking brand of rugby. We've seen glimpses of it. But it doesn't really seem like it's kind of settled and gelled yet.
I tell you what will be interesting. How are they going today in the LB Cup? The Anglo-Welsh?
Anglo-Welsh final.
Yeah,
it's today,
Exeter.
Isn't it?
Against Exeter.
What, you're not watching it later?
Yeah, I'm a bit busy. But I haven't got a clue. So we've got, what are you going for, Phil?
Northampton at home by 5 points.
Play that music. And thank you very much, Leo Vegas. Don't laugh, they paid for that laptop. You play the music. we were thinking, right, well, it's our first ever live show. We normally sit, the three of us, in the back room of JB's basement.
Oh. Flat.
It used to, it started off, but again, I don't know how long everyone's listened, but it started off where we used to sneak in on a Sunday and use the radio studio I worked in.
Yeah, use the commando role into the studio.
Exactly. And then I got sacked.
Chris Moyles.
Yeah, Chris Moyles. Yeah, Chris Moyles on about 20 times the money that I was on. But anyway, half the listeners.
Not much, sir.
Yeah, but it's still not BT money, though, is it, Tim?
So we just sit around in our room. We sit around in our room downstairs and don't get to see the whites of people's eyes. We just chat to each other, and Phil, exactly as he is now, literally and metaphorically, is the man in the middle, the referee. This is the only time I'm normally on the right wing, though. It's normally JB's position. And right. Hasn't it been good, JB, being back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Loving this. So we thought we need a finale.
I've got one. It's not the one that we planned, but I've got one. If he'll do it. Gavin, yeah. Apparently you know a song in a foreign language.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Gavin!
Yeah. All right. I want one more volunteer.
Yeah, you need two volunteers.
We need two volunteers. We're going to...
Miller!
One more person. One more person, a volunteer. We're going to do X Factor, which I think we should. I think the finale should be Gavin's. I think this sounds like it's going to be special. So, who remembers the early days when we used to really, really love Alex Corbisiero?
You still do love Alex Corbisiero.
Oh, we do. We still do. The rap. I think in Mojos, this is a karaoke joint after all. Take that, my man. Give him some encouragement. Stand on the stage.
Enjoy it.
Relax, you amongst friends.
Come on,
DP.
Okay, Reed, go for it, though. This is your moment.
So,
mate,
can I get
my
friends
in the face?
Right, you ready?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Keep it kind of quiet. People on a diet. Scum is straight. Time is right. I don't deny it. Test me. Try it. So you don't buy it. I'm gonna grab the microphone and start to fly. Up to high with a mic to make you cry. Told you before, we represent LI. London Irish, you can't deny this. Someone says a clown, you can't buy this. Oh!
Now, this is unplanned, unprepared, but I think as it was, stand on the stage in the middle. So, as this, it was Ireland's weekend, wasn't it a bit weird, like England losing, and then the fireworks going off with the trophy?
It's
a little bit Joe Launchbury after
Wales. Yeah, get the medals, get handed the medals, looking really sad from losing, but then winning the game. Well, winning the
won
tournament.
The tournament. And well, but Gavin, so what are you doing?
I don't know, this is the first I heard of it. French national anthem,
Daddy boy. No. Apparently, you can sing the French national anthem.
I can sing the French, I can sing the Italian, I can sing the Irish.
Ooh! Italian or French?
French!
Again. Cheer if you want French. Cheer if you want Italian. French it is.
Be standing. Allons, nos enfants de la patrie, le jeu de gloire est. Contre nous de la tyrannie, l'étendard sanglant élevé, l'étendard sanglant élevé. Entendez-vous dans vos campagnes mougir ces féroces soldats qui viennent jusque dans vos bras, égorger vos fils et vos campagnes. Aux armes, les citoyens, formez vos bataillons, marchons, marchons, le sang est pur, abreuve nos
sillons.
We're going to miss the game. Do I have to do the bumper, 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 bumper?
Yeah.
Fratelli d'Italia, Italia sei desta, dall'elmo di Scipio se cinta la testa, dove la vittoria le porgia la schioma, le schiava di Roma, l'Iddio la creò, 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 oh oh oh, chi sei? Fratelli d'Italia, Italia se testa, dell'elmo di Scipio si cinta la testa, dove la vittoria se porgia l'adore, le schiava di Roma, l'Iddio la creò, la creò. Salve alla morte, siamo le corte, facciamo la che morte, l'Italia che abbiamo. Siamo pronti alla morte, facciamo le corte, siamo pronti alla morte, Italia che abbiamo. Sì!
Line out pints, cognac and cake, lots of beers, boat races. I'm going to make sure you get an Egg Chaser t-shirt. I'll make sure you get an Egg Chaser t-shirt. There's club ties and there's some t-shirts. They'll be downstairs. We're having a drink here, and later on, we believe and we're hoping that we're going to get the rugby boys that are on the pitch that we're watching this afternoon coming out for some beers as well. So, ladies, one more time, thank you so much for coming. Let the boys play.
Thanks, guys. It means a lot.
That was the first one.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.